RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy new year from the Grant and Danny radio program. Kedrick Golston sitting in for GP. I'm Danny Ruye. One final segment before we turn it over to Washington Capitals pregame and Capitals hockey right here on 106.7 The Fan. I was not here this past week. I was fortunate enough to be able to take the day off. I usually work the Christmas Eve show. I usually do that one by myself. And previous caller from previous segment, very, very nice that he remembers this. I do an annual all-request impression line. So people can call in and request a voice. If I can do it, I do it. And the topic, so whatever they want to talk about. So I do that usually every year. And I didn't do it this year because we were traveling for Christmas and Christmas Eve. I wasn't around, etc. So I'm going to try to do it tomorrow, even though I'm not by myself. So that's going to be a little awkward where it's like, hey, take a back seat. This one's about me for 30 minutes. I didn't think it'd be appropriate to do that with you. I felt bad.
I'm a huge fan of, obviously, your Charles Barkley has traveled across. It's kind of like the Junkies holiday show, right? Like that's how yes. I view the Danny Huwe impersonation.
Well, how about that?
Part is much see, much watch kind of radio because you hit some of them spot on, and it isn't more so the impersonation; it's the conversation you have with the impersonation that is brilliant that I always seem to enjoy.
Well, that's so nice of you, Kendrick Colston. Your $5 in the mail. But we got Ked here. There's plenty of stuff to talk about. Let's do that. And so I'm going to force poor Steve Zabin tomorrow to sit through that. And I don't know how that's going to go, to be honest with you. He's such a radio pro, but Steve Zabin wants to talk too. So I don't know what to do about it, but we're going to try. We're going to see how it works.
It's the Grant and Danny show, not the...
Right? There we go.
Not the Zabe show.
I'll tell him you said that. So here's what I want to do. This is kind of the last recap here, because I wasn't here for the Christmas week, etc. We talked about Christmas as you and I were catching up before the show and everything else. I want to know in your travels, you guys went to South Carolina, and then you guys hosted people at home.
Yes.
What was the best thing you ate over the Christmas holiday?
Ooh, man. So kind of give everybody a little perspective, right? So obviously you got Thanksgiving about a month prior, right? Mm-hmm. So Thanksgiving, you do the brisket, you do the fried turkey, you do the baked macaroni and cheese, all that stuff, right? All the yams, all that kind of stuff, right? So for Christmas, we do a little bit different, right? We do like a brunch, right? So you have your fried chicken, you have your waffles, you have your egg casseroles, you have all that type of stuff, right? But the thing that I look forward to the most and lets me know that it's Christmas is that my mother-in-law, sweetest lady in the world, she does her homemade chili and hot dogs on Christmas Eve.
Go on.
And so we all go over there after church service and, you know, all beef 100%, all beef Franks, right? Just right there, a little char ready to crisp, right? She butters and toasts all buns, right? Chili's homemade. She has a regular bunch and she has a spicy bunch, right? She's got the sour cream.
You got all the stations.
She's got all the fixings. Right? And just house is decorated to the T, right? And we go over there. We have chili hot dogs at the church service. It's great. We play a little cards, right? So that's kind of my moment. Like, hey, Christmas is here. The food's immaculate. Obviously, there's desserts, right? So you got your cookies, your cakes, and all that kind of stuff. But the chili my mother-in-law makes on Christmas Eve with the hot dogs is just A1.
Walk me through that chili. Is it a Cincinnati soupy? Is it Texas kind of terlingua? Is it angry? Are we talking beans?
So, okay.
What do we have?
So obviously you started off with an onion base, right? So, but we like the onion flavor. We just don't like the onion texture, right? So you make sure you cook that onion till it's translucent.
It's got to be, I mean, just cooked and cooked and
cooked.
It's got
to be cooked to where it just disappears, right? Yes. It looks, you can see straight through it and you don't even know you're eating it, but you need it, right? So it's got beans, right? A little ground beef, a little 80-20, maybe a little 85-15. We're getting up there in age.
You want
to cut a little bit of fat out of it, right? You got a pinto bean and a kidney bean, right? 2-to-1 ratio, pinto to kidney.
Yes.
Right? And
that's cooked with the beef?
That is, no. You add that on, right? So you cook the beef.
Yep.
Then you add the chili spices, right?
Yes.
You add the chili spices. You let that chili spice cook up all up into that meat. Into the meat. It's all about the meat. Then you add your tomato sauce, right? Little diced tomatoes. And then you add your beans, right? Juice and all. Right, you got to thin it up because it's thick, right? Mm-hmm. And then from there, it's kind of like your palate, right, to do whatever it is you want to do with it, right? It's like a canvas of chili, right? You got your meat, your beans, right? So if you want to thicken it up, add a little cheddar cheese, add a little sharp cheddar to it. You want to thicken it up, right? If you want to turn it into a dip, add a little bit more cheddar cheese, right? If you want to thin it out, we got a little water. We can thin it out with a little seasoning, a little chicken broth, those type of things to keep it seasoned. But it's a high quality chili.
It sounds fantastic.
I would, you know, if there was a diner around here, you should probably get her to make it.
Now, this is why we do this. This is why we're here. We've tapped into something. We're exploring it. Give me your ideal chili setup. I assume let's start with that's the chili. That's what's happening. Are you dipping tortillas in it? Tortilla chips in it? Are you sour cream, cheese, jalapenos? Are you hot saucing it? Are you sprinkling some of your own seasoning? What are you doing with that bowl of chili? This is your perfect chili bowl.
So what I'm doing, right? I'm starting it off. Before I do anything with this chili, I'm going to do a little bed of sharp cheddar on the bottom of the bowl.
You're talking about a cheddar base?
Yeah, I'm doing a cheddar base, right? So I want to make sure. So I'm taking that and I'm taking 2 big scoops of chili and another little bit of cheddar cheese. Sour cream is a must.
Yep.
Doing sour cream and I'm mixing that all up, right? And I'm gonna be patient with it, right? I want it all that to combine, right? From there, I'm gonna have me some tortilla chips and I'm gonna have a spoon, right? I might have a slice of cornbread, right? And I'm going.
There you go.
I'm going through it all, right? I'm before I sit down, I got the chips and I'm dipping it in the bowl, and that's gonna get me to the table. Once I get to the table, I'm gonna take that cornbread and I'm gonna break it up, but I'm not gonna break it up all at one time because I want that cornbread to just kind of sit on top, and I want to control every bite that I get because what I'm searching for is that best bite every single time.
Of course you are.
So that's how I'm doing my chili. That's my first round of chili.
Mm-hmm.
My second round of chili, I'm just turning it into like a nacho chili dip, right? So I'm going probably 2-to-1 cheese with chili, and that's just kind of, hey, like, don't really want another bowl of chili, but I still want chili.
Of course.
So I just need something to dip, right? Because we're talking, we're eating, we're moving, we're shaking. That's what I'm doing.
I love this so much. The cornbread question was where I was going to start. Because for me, I'm talking about my ideal chili bowl now. 3/4 of 1 piece of cornbread right in the bowl. That's how I begin the conversation. The chili is going to go over top of that. And now I'm in the midst of, I'm doing the breakup. So now it's part of my texture. It becomes part of the chili bowl. You see what I'm saying?
I do. I smell what you're cooking.
So now the chili, and this is, it's a darker chili. This is a, I want Texas, but I want beans also. Texas to me misses the integral, beautiful bean situation. I need a little bean in my
You need that texture.
Now I don't want Cincinnati. That's garbage.
No.
That's basically ketchup. Pound sand with your ketchup water.
I like to say it's too loose.
It's very loose.
You don't like to eat loose stuff.
No, it's very loose. And you're not cool because you put it on spaghetti. That's just spaghetti sauce.
Way too many onions.
Settle down, Cincinnati. Back to us. Okay. So I start with that, with the cornbread right there. Then you get your chili. Then a couple jalapenos. I'm gonna dice them a little bit. I'm not going to go whole jalapeno. I don't want to have a bite that's whole jalapeno piece and then one that's not. I want more often, but I don't want it to overpower. I want it to be part of the situation, right? It's going to be cut by my sour cream, then my cheese topping. I hesitate to mix the entire thing because then it becomes a dip, to your point. You follow me on that?
I got you.
So now, once I've got enough, I need enough bowl space, too, for this to happen. So now the cheese is on top, the sour cream is there. As I go down with my spoon, I can apportion the amount of cheese and sour cream that I want per bite, and then I end with the the cornbread down there at the bottom. And that's how I kind of get my ideal spoonful. The thing you said that's so profound and correct is the best bite every time.
Yes.
And my ability to control that is kind of what I'm all about here.
Yeah, so you kind of got like a little seven-layer type thing going on where you kind of control the portion sizes. And sometimes, you know what, you might want a little bit more or something else.
That's right.
And sometimes you might want a little bit less. But that being said, you took the time to build the perfect bowl, which there in turn gives you the perfect bite.
So there it is.
I'm all about this, right? Like, food should be enjoyed, right? And it takes time to prepare good food, even in the presentation. Don't ever let bowl size limit anything that you do, right? Buy bigger bowls, right? To get the stuff you want in there so that you can enjoy more.
We need to put that on a t-shirt, by the way. Don't let bowl size limit what you do. Buy bigger bowls. That's genius. That's a defensive lineman talking, by the way. And then I forgot, I of course have a side of cornbread. Yes. That is my palate cleanse. That's the butter cornbread. So that's cornbread with the butter on it, where I'm going in between probably every 4 to 5 spoonfuls of chili. I then go cornbread to reset the whole thing.
Now, is this homemade cornbread? Or is it
if
in
I have
box?
My druthers. Yeah, if right. I have my druthers, it's
so
homemade.
I think, listen, there's a reason why Jiffy cornbread is stand the taste of time, right? Like, somebody thought so much of that product to put it in stores all across America, whether it's Whole Foods or freaking the Dollar General. They got Jiffy cornbread. Mm-hmm. Now, what I will do is add a little bit of sugar, a little bit of honey, right, in that cornbread, right?
I'm going to make
it
mixture.
My own. In my mixture, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to make it my own, right? A little bit sweeter, right? I'm going to make it my own. But I like everything that you're saying, except maybe we need to make you a cornbread bowl.
Go on.
To where the bowl, think about a Panera Bread bowl, right?
Okay.
Well, why can't we do that with cornbread?
I don't know.
Why can't
we? Is it too crummy?
Well, no. We get a pan of cornbread. We get the little disposable tins, right? You have your own personal pan of cornbread. We cut a hole out in the middle, right? Put chili in there. Now you're pulling from all over the place, and you have more surface area because we're not dealing with bowls anymore. We're dealing with a rectangle.
Is this the new business? Is this the thing that we're going to do to make billions?
For years, listen.
The cornbread bowl?
We know a little bit about sports.
Sure.
We should really be in the food connoisseur business because, as you can tell, we're really passionate about food presentations
we
and all that kind of stuff.
We have thought about these things.
It's kind of what drives us.
The cornbread bowl?
We add the sports to give us more opportunities to introduce food into our lives.
Galileo, Copernicus, Kedrick Golston. Similar.
I'll take it.
All right. I love that. I like where you ended on that. What is your, you already kind of touched on it with the chili dogs, but like, okay, this is Christmas moment. So for me, I'll give you my example and you can share yours. Once the kids are awake on Christmas Day, and we ended up with multiple times where kids are together opening up presents. So it's like this set of cousins, that set of cousins, this set of in-laws, et cetera. So it's great. But the initial Christmas Day, when the kids are up, everyone's in their PJs, and everyone's assembled, and the kids are sitting there going, come on, like, come on, I want to open the presents. And everyone's telling them to wait. I have my cup of coffee, and then the embargo is lifted and they can tear into the presents and they can like it or not like it and whine or not or whatever, right? And they're all different ages, different places. But I'm sitting there at peace because whatever happened, whatever we did is over now. Nothing else you can do. You can't go out and get another gift. The shopping is done. The wrapping is done. My wife does all of it. The hay's in the barn, so to speak. This is it. There's no other work to be done. And you're just Andy Dufresne on the roof in Shawshank after you agreed to fill out all the paperwork for the guard. I'm sitting there drinking my coffee. They're tearing into the presents. I go, okay, this is Christmas. What's yours?
Kind of similar to that. I think for me, my kind of Christmas moment is because we got a big family and they all come to our house and we enjoy that because the cousins are running around is when there's multiple adults in the middle of the week waking up sitting on your couch because they don't have to go to work because it's the holidays. You know, because our family has gotten so big, you know, like.
How many people are we talking?
Well, I have 6 just in my house. My brother-in-law's got 4. My other brother-in-law's got 6. So we kind of all do our separate Christmases, and then we all kind of convene at a later time. To me, for me, obviously Christmas is Christmas, and we know why we celebrate it. But before that, like, you know how you always got to do a bunch of stuff on Christmas Eve?
Yes.
Right? So once all that stuff is done, so your moment is the coffee, right?
Yeah.
Like, and everybody's tearing up. My moment is when, right, I've prepped the French toast casserole we're going to have for breakfast, right? I got that prep.
I'm going to put a pin in that in a second.
All I got to do is put it in the oven in the morning. But once everything is wrapped, everything is where it needs to be. And I know when I wake up in the morning, all I have to do is sit there and watch.
So once it's like, it goes, the prep is done and it's that moment.
Yep. It's probably about 1:45 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Everything is done. If we got it, we got it. If we don't, we don't. Kids are asleep. They're going to wake up. They're going to enjoy it. We're going to have a good time. But there's nothing more that I need to do because I've already done everything.
So let me ask this in terms of space. You are a large human being, a former defensive tackle in the NFL. You got a son that's on his way to play college football, probably not a small gentleman either.
No.
Is that an issue? Where if you got enough big people in a place?
Well, I did have to obviously I got a 17-year-old son that'll be 18 here next year, and then I have another son. So they're obviously ton of testosterone, super lean, athletic looking dudes.
Uh-huh.
So I told him, you have to keep your shirt on in my house because I no longer look like that. So they're walking around with abs and big shoulders and traps and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, hey, man, like, put your shirt on, man.
Like
gravity's weighing down on your dad now. You know what I mean? So stop strutting around here, peacocking, right, and help the old man out.
I love that. French toast casserole. What are we talking about here? Go.
French toast casserole, right? This is where people have to understand, and I'm big on this, right? What is the origin of something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're dealing with a French toast casserole, right, you don't want fresh bread. You want that bread to be 2 to 3 days old. You want it out. You want it dry. Why do you want it dry? Because when you introduce that cream and that sugar and that butter, you want that bread to soak it up. You want it to soak it up, right? So chop that bread up into cubes, about a 9 by 13 pan, you're probably looking at about a loaf and a half. You want to cut up into cubes,
okay,
right? Make sure it's super dry. If you don't have time to let it dry, then
what's your bread?
A French loaf.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Actual French bread?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm cutting it up, layering it, right? And if you don't have time to get it old, put it in the oven for like an hour at 200 degrees to dry it straight up, right?
Mm-hmm.
About 6 to 8 eggs, a little bit of heavy cream, some sugar, some cinnamon, some nutmeg. You want to pour that over, mix it all up. The key, you want it to sit overnight because as that mixture is sitting, it's going to be a little loose, right? But as it's sitting in the refrigerator, by the morning come, all that liquid is going to soak up into that bread.
So it's like a marinade for a meat.
Yeah, it's like marinated for meat. Once there, you put it in the oven for 30, 45 minutes, put a little brown sugar. I'm a pecan guy.
I was going to ask about the pecan situation.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you say pecan as a Georgia gentleman?
Yes.
You don't say pecan?
I will admit, I've been up here since 06, right?
Is that
what
happened?
I've kind of lost my way.
Did they shame that out of you?
I don't, it's kind of like this thing I have. I kind of like this kind of sauce they talk about in D.C. called mambo sauce, and I don't really know. So you kind of, when in Rome, you kind of do what they do. So we're all in creatures of our environment. So pecan, right, like tomato, tomato.
Interesting.
All I know is I'm going to take them, about 2 cups full.
Yep.
I'm going to break them up, kind of like your point with the jalapenos. I don't want a whole pecan, right?
Thank you.
I'm going to smush
Thank
it up.
Thank you.
Smush it up,
Thank
and
you.
I'm going to sprinkle it, right? Because sometimes a whole pecan is too much, right? I only might want half a pecan.
It dominates the bite. It dominates the bite.
You don't want that.
Thank you.
Right? You need to be able to pull apart in sections. So, right, doing that, little brown sugar, little butter, little pre-lane topping on the top, right? It's all good. The great thing about my French toast casserole is, right,
mm-hmm,
it's good enough to eat on its own. You can add syrup. Or towards the end of the night, it's essentially like a bread pudding. You can put a scoop of vanilla ice cream on it and make it do what it do.
Now, there's probably enough food and dessert and different things elsewhere so that you don't have to do that. But isn't it lovely to have that option?
Well, I've done it, right? Because I'm saying, listen, my casserole, which now I'm going to turn into a dessert, a bread pudding, right? It's better than that pound cake you bought at Safeway. No disrespect, Safeway. I like Safeway's pound cakes, but I know what I like.
I love that so much. That is why we do it. I did not know where that was going to go, but we landed on a couple great places. Before we get out of here, Kev, we're going to do this real quick. It's time for a Capitals Power Play.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Caps taking on the defending champs, the Florida Panthers, this evening. I might add, back-to-back defending champs. A tough travel situation for the Capitals. That's the deal, though, with this condensed schedule, where they're going to take the Olympic break. They got to get their games in. Usually, you don't get to game 41 until, I would say, what? Like, early part of January, maybe even mid-January? That's happening here sooner rather than later as they take on the Florida Panthers tonight after a 4-3 comeback overtime win against the New Jersey Devils. Mentioned this about Florida earlier. We're talking during the Beltway Blitz with Sammy Silber, that this Florida team isn't quite up to snuff from what they've been the last couple years, but there's still a mystique. There's still a pedigree there. They are 20-15 overall this year. This is a tough matchup for the Caps. Hoping to get a point or two in this one, and that is how your Caps power play will roll. Yeah, this is a blast to hang out with you, dude. Hope you had an okay time.
Man, listen, I look forward to this when the opportunity presented itself. Huge fan of the show to be able to sit in this seat, man. Had a blast doing it.
And you were like, it's Danny, not Grant? All right. You agreed begrudgingly.
No. I knew what I was getting into. Listen, you're my guy, man. Heard you do a ton of stand-up, man. A huge fan of you all. I've known Grant since he was a teenage childhood prodigy, right? So he's just... he's gifted. Us guys, we had to work for where we got to.
I love that. That's Kedrick Golston. You could quote him, I think, on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter page. I like Danny better than Grant. I think that's how we said it, Darius. That's how it went, more or less. Dude, appreciate you. It's fun to hang out, man.
Thank you, man.
We'll be back at it tomorrow. Capitals hockey is up next. For Wes, for Chris, for Darius, for Ryan, who's somewhere, maybe, we don't know. Grant will be back this Friday when he and I will be at Caddy's on Cordell in Bethesda. But I'll be back at 2 o'clock tomorrow. I believe Steve Zabin is sitting in. So we'll have a full show for you guys. For Ked, I'm Danny. This is G&D on the Fan. See you guys tomorrow.
Thank you for coming.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.